Amen. If you would pray with me. Lord God, thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to dig into your holy word together today. Help us, Father, that we might hear from you, that we might be changed by you. God, I ask that the words of my mouth would be yours and yours alone. That you, Father, that your message would be heard and that we would respond to you in a way that would please you, Father. Have your way even now, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Church, it is so good to be back with you again. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to Galatians chapter 5. In just a moment, we're going to read verses 13 through 17. Last week, we had the opportunity to start a brand new sermon series called Parenting in the Spirit. And the whole idea is that sometimes sometimes it's easy for us to see how God's Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. But for me, I know that sometimes in my parenting, it's really hard for me to see God at work in all of that. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a few weeks to look at God's Word and to see how can we have God's Spirit at work and how can we submit to God's Holy Spirit even in our parenting. Now, let me give you a little heads up too, because I know not everybody out there is a parent, and some of you don't have kids at home anymore and those kinds of things. Let me give you a little hint here. All of the principles that we're talking about in this entire series absolutely apply to every area of responsibility in which you have as well. Like, your responsibility might not be to care for children right now or to raise kids, but your responsibility might be at work. Your responsibility might be in your marriage. Your responsibility could be in all kinds of different places. In the principles that we're talking about through these next few weeks, you can apply all of these things to those areas of responsibility in your life as well. And so as you hear me talking about parenting, make sure you just insert your area of responsibility, and these things will hit right where you need to be as well. So let me jump into the scripture here and we'll get started. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 17. It says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. And if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." See, the one thing that I want us to recognize today is that everything in our lives is spiritual. Now, I know that as you have grown up, and maybe you've been a part of the church, maybe you haven't, I know sort of that the common idea is that there are spiritual things that happen in a place of worship, which, again, is ironic, seeing as now we're not even allowed to be in that place of worship together. But then outside of that place of worship, that's when everything non-spiritual happens. And so you've got things like work and your hobbies and vacation and all those things. Those are things that they're all non-spiritual because they don't happen in a place of worship. But what Paul is saying here to the Galatian church is that everything is spiritual. Everything is impacted either by God's Holy Spirit or by our flesh, by our sin nature, by the devil himself, who is trying to lead us into temptation and lead us away from everything God has for us. Everything is spiritual. Now, sometimes it's easier to see the spiritual, right? Like, even right now, we're a part of a worship service, we're reading the Bible, I'm preaching a sermon. Like, obviously this is spiritual, right? But But what about when this video is over? What about when you go to eat lunch? Is that spiritual? What about when Sunday is over and Monday comes and it's time to get back into work? Is that spiritual? Really, what I want to focus on in this sermon series here is, what about when you talk to your kids? What about when your kids lose their minds? What about when life is just stressful at home? What about when you have to discipline them? What about when you're having to set some guidelines and some rules? Like, is that spiritual as well? See, I would actually argue that it is. I think that everything we do is spiritual. There is no such thing as the mundane. There is no such thing as the common. There are no places that we can go that God is not there. There are no things that we can do that the Holy Spirit does not have guidance for us. Like God is at work in all that we do. Like, where is it that we can go that God is not there ahead of us, that He's not preparing a way for us? Like if God is already there, then that is a place of spiritual work. Much like we might look at a sanctuary or a place of worship. See, the truth is that everything is spiritual, even our parenting. And so if we have that understanding that even parenting, or any position of responsibility for that matter, if we have that understanding that even parenting is spiritual, then we need to look at that a little bit differently. Like, for example, as we look through these verses here in verse 13, it talks about serving one another humbly, right? Well, if we're a part of a church and we're meeting in a church building, like we can probably pretty easily come up with some examples of how we can serve each other humbly. But what does that look like in your home? What does that look like as a parent? What does that look like when you're trying to raise up your children in a particular way? Like, what does it look like for you to serve humbly in your home? Even in verse 14, it talks about loving your neighbor. And again, particularly for those who've been a part of the church, we can very easily think of stories like the Good Samaritan and like, oh, like, yes, we're supposed to love those that are in need. We're supposed to love those in our community, love our neighbors, and try to share God's news. But what does it look like to love your neighbor at home? What does that look like when your kids come home from school? What does that look like when your kids are stuck at home with you during all of these social distancing requirements? What does it look like for you to love your neighbor when your neighbor is your children? Even in verse 14 or 15, it talks about not biting and devouring, and for some of you, you may read a verse like that and think right away of like maybe your work environment, like maybe your boss, or you have that of a coworker that just drives you crazy with all the negativity, or maybe even in your marriage there's some conflict that's going on there. But what about with your children? Have you thought about the words that come from your mouth and the spiritual nature of the words that come from your mouth? It's interesting because sometimes when we begin to be aware of the spiritual things that are happening around us, it's really easy for us to see negative spiritual implications in other people. But sometimes it's hard for us to see it in ourselves. One movie that I absolutely love is called Inside Out. And this movie is really an examination of things that happen in the brain of a little girl, but even beyond that, it's even just what happens in our brains in general. And while this movie really focuses on different emotions that are sort of at battling sometimes in our minds with each other, really, I think it's a great example of how there are some spiritual forces at work in our minds just in a given day, even at the dinner table. Check this out.
So, as it turns out, the green trash can is not recycling. It's for greens, like compost and eggshells. Mm. And the blue one is recycling. And the black one is...
Riley is acting so weird. Why is she acting so weird?
What do you expect? All the islands are down.
Joy would know what to do.
That's it. Until she gets back, we just do what Joy would do.
Great idea. Anger, fear, disgust. How are we supposed to be happy?
Mm. Hey, Riley, I've got good news. I found a junior hockey league right here in San Francisco. And get this, tryouts are tomorrow after school. What luck, right?
Hockey.
Uh-oh, what do we do?
Guys, here, you pretend to be Joy.
Won't it be great to be back out on the ice?
Oh, yeah. That sounds fantastic.
What was that? That wasn't anything like Joy.
Because I'm not Joy?
Yeah, no kidding.
Did you guys pick up on that?
Sure did. Something's wrong.
Should we ask her?
Let's probe, but keep it subtle so she doesn't notice.
So, how was the first day of school?
She's probing us.
I'm done. You pretend to be Joy.
What?
Okay.
It was fine, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, very smooth. That was just like Joy.
Something is definitely going on.
She's never acted like this before. What should we do?
We're gonna find out what's happening, but we'll need support. Signal the husband.
Ahem.
With a nice pass over to Reed, comes across that right.
Uh-oh, she's looking at us. What did she say?
What? Oh, sorry, sir. No one was listening.
Is it garbage night? We left the toilet seat up. What? What is it, woman? What?
He's making that stupid face again.
I could strangle him right now!
Signal him again.
Ah, so, Riley, how was school?
Seriously?
Are you kidding me?
For this, we gave up that Brazilian helicopter pilot?
Boo! I'll be Joy.
School was great, all right?
Riley, is everything okay?
Sir, she just rolled her eyes at us.
What is her deal?
All right, make a show of force. I don't want to have to put the foot down.
No, not the foot.
Riley, I do not like this new attitude.
Oh, I'll show you attitude, okay?
No. Stay happy!
What is your problem? Just leave me alone.
Sir, reporting high levels of sass.
Take it to DEFCON 2.
You heard that, gentlemen. DEFCON 2.
Listen, young lady, I don't know where this disrespectful attitude came from.
You want a piece of this, Pops? Come and get it!
Yeah, well, look.
Here it comes. Prepare the foot.
Keys to safety position. Ready to launch on your command, sir.
Just shut up!
Fire!
That's it. Go to your room. Now.
Foot is down. The foot is down.
Woo!
Good job, gentlemen. That could have been a disaster.
Well, that was a disaster.
Come, fly with me, Gacinha.
All right, so you can see there, everybody had a very different perspective on what was happening there in the different ways, right? The dad thought that he had just conquered the world. Mom is disappointed by everything. The daughter is mad and storms off. And these, and each and every one of them had a spiritual influence in the way that they were interacting with each other. See, it's easy for us as parents to look at our children and say, oh my goodness, look at how they're not loving one another. Look at how they're biting and devouring one another. Look at how they're not serving humbly in the family. Like, we can look at our kids and we can find all these negative things that they're doing sometimes, but do we take the time to look at us? It is so easy to see negative spiritual implications in other people's lives. But how often are we really evaluating in ourselves what spirit it is that we are submitting ourselves to, whether that's in parenting or any other area of responsibility that we have? See, we have to recognize that everything is spiritual. And we have to ask ourselves, what is spiritually happening inside of us? Why is it, for example, that the mom felt such compassion to figure out what was going on for her daughter? Why is it that the dad felt so important to put the foot down, right? Why is it that the daughter responded the way that she did? What is happening spiritually inside of us? See, we cannot begin to teach our children about how everything is spiritual. We can't begin to teach our children about the spiritual dynamics of everything that is going on in our lives until we first recognize what is happening spiritually in us. Like, for example, like if our kids are going to begin to say things and do things that frustrate us and hurt our feelings and bring some brokenness into our lives, we first have to step back and think about, like, how are we responding to that spiritually? How are we acknowledging God's presence in this? How are we seeing the enemy attacking us in this? How are we aware of what God is wanting to do, not only in us, but also in the lives of our kids? See, if we're not careful, we may find ourselves getting swept up in a moment, much like the dad did in this clip here, and we lose the spiritual opportunities that we have to speak God's word into the lives of our children. See, we really need to ask ourselves, are we teaching our kids how to deal with stress by submitting to God's Holy Spirit? Or are we teaching our kids to deal with stress by submitting to their flesh and getting angry and being self-centered and storming off and all those kinds of things? Like, what example are we giving our children? What example are we giving to those that we are responsible for? See, many times, even as a parent, and I've said this myself, my kids would do something that I don't agree with, and I would respond in a way that was, let's just say, it was not in submission to God's Holy Spirit, right? And then afterwards, I would recognize that, and I would try to talk to my kids, and I would say to them things like, well, if you wouldn't have done A, B, and C, then I wouldn't have done X, Y, Z. But then what I'm telling my kids is that my emotional responses are dependent on your behavior. And I don't think that's exactly how God wants us to be. See, I actually believe that Jesus died on a cross, not just to forgive us of our sins, but to empower us to live in submission to Him and His Holy Spirit each and every day. Which means that our decisions and our emotional responses ought not be dictated by the people around us or our circumstances, no matter what those circumstances are, but rather our emotional responses ought to be dictated by God's holy word and the presence of His Holy Spirit inside of us. When we begin to respond emotionally according to what our kids are doing, we are putting way too much power in their hands. No, in fact, what we're teaching them is that their circumstances ought to dictate how they respond to stress. But God's word has shown us that we have to be submitted to His Holy Spirit at all times. Now let me be clear in this too. We're all going to lose it sometimes, right? I mean, the good news is that for every time that we might lose it, God is able to forgive, because the blood of Jesus Christ is enough. Every time we recognize, you know what, we went in a way that we shouldn't have, the forgiveness of Jesus is there for us. And so we don't have to hold ourselves hostage to the decisions that we've made. And we don't have to try, we don't have to anticipate that we're always going to be perfect in everything that we do. Parents just aren't going to be perfect in everything that they do. But it also means that we do have another way. We don't have to just continue down the emotional responses that we've been doing. Like, there's another way to do this. And I want to kind of jump into some of those ways here that we see even just in these verses. And for example, in verse 13 again, it says there, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Humility is probably, I think, one of the most important character qualities of a believer in Jesus. And part of the reason humility is so important is because we first have to acknowledge the fact that we are not God. We are not in control. Like, we do not have power. Like, we do not have authority all by ourselves. Like, we were not born with this innate sense of ownership. Like nothing belongs to us. We are not owners of anything. We are not God. We are not decision makers. We ought not be decision makers. Like we are servants. That is who we are. God is our Father, and we are also sons and daughters of the Most High God. But let's be honest, there is a difference between the king and the children of the king. Like, the children of the king might be able to live in the benefits of the king, but they don't do the same work as the king. They don't have the same authority as the king. They don't go the same places as the king. No, the king is the king. He is the final authority. And part of our humility is just simply to acknowledge the fact, you know what? We're not God. And so we have to step back and just humble ourselves before God and say, you know what? You alone are able. God, I can't parent well on my own. I humble myself before you, Lord, and I just ask that you would lead me in that. I can't say all the right things all the time, but God, you can speak a word that changes lives. God, I can't do what I need to do all the time, but God, you can do exactly what needs done right when it needs done. We've got to humble ourselves first. We don't have the power to change lives. Think about that now. I know as a parent, I want to be able to influence the lives of my kid and all of my kids in a powerful way. I don't have power. What I have is the opportunity to submit myself to the power of God's Holy Spirit, or the opportunity to submit myself to the power of the flesh, which is void of any lasting, real, and positive power. We have to humble ourselves before God, who has all power. And then verse 14 goes into loving your neighbor as you love yourself. Our kids are not going to remember what they've done wrong. Let's just be honest. I mean, you think back to your childhood, you might have a couple of things that you recognize, like, yeah, I did this or that or whatever there. But for the most part, your kids are not going to remember what they did wrong. What they are going to remember is how you responded to what they did wrong, right? They're going to remember whether you lost it. They're going to remember whether you got angry or not. They're going to remember whether you stayed there or whether you walked away. They're going to remember your response. And in your response, if that response is loving, then they're going to learn that they can trust you even in stressful situations. They're going to learn that they can trust you with challenges and with hard discussions. They're going to learn that if when you encounter stress, you stay there and you stay submitted to God's Holy Spirit. They're going to learn that they can trust not only you, but they can trust the Holy Spirit inside of you. That's what they're going to learn. They're also going to learn if faith is real or not. See, with me, the thing that I really struggle with is that I sit here and I will preach a sermon and I'll talk about the importance of faith, and all of these things are very real and true. But if I don't maintain this language, if I don't maintain this lifestyle at home and in my parenting, then my children learn that what I say here is not the same as what I do there. As parents, we have to be aware of that. We have to begin to ask ourselves, like, are we submitting to the same Spirit in a place of worship as we do in our place of residence? Do our children notice? Well, let me just back that up a little bit. Our children will notice if our lives in front of others are the same as they are when they're not around others. Our children will notice, and they will learn how they ought to live as well. They'll learn by what we do. They'll learn by how we respond. They'll learn to submit to the same Spirit that we submit to. So we've really got to check ourselves and see, what is our faith really real? At home, in stress, in our areas of responsibility, is our faith really real even in those places? Our kids are also going to learn, as they're seeking to love one another in our homes, our kids are also going to learn if it's okay to say I'm sorry or not. See, that's been one of the most difficult and also most freeing things that I've ever done as a parent, is to be able to look my child in the eye and to be able to say, you know what? I responded in a way that I should not have responded, and I'm sorry. Like, when you're talking to a kid who isn't even 10 years old yet, and you have to apologize, in some ways it made me feel so small, right? What in the world am I doing? Like, I'm in charge here. Why am I apologizing? I don't have to apologize. Like, I'm in charge. Like, you just do what I say, and that's all there is to it. But the truth of the matter is, like, if I never show my children how to say I'm sorry, then maybe they'll never learn how to say I'm sorry. Maybe they'll never learn how to say it to somebody else. Maybe they'll never learn how to say it to God. Maybe they'll never learn how to submit their lives to Jesus because they never saw me actually repent in my life at all. See, there's a difference between sitting here and being in a place of worship and saying, oh, repentance is important. There's a difference between that and actually looking my child in the eye and saying, I'm sorry. And let's move forward from this. See, that's one of the ways that we love our neighbor in our home. Is we create an environment where repentance is okay. And what we're teaching our kids then is that it's okay for them to repent as well. And then, in verse 15 there, it talks again about the importance of speaking positively, right? Of not biting and devouring one another. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. That phrase in there, it says, according to their needs. That's what really jumps out to me the most there. Like, we need to make sure that the words that come out of our mouths aren't, we gotta strive for more than just not saying bad words, right? We gotta strive for more than not just cursing at home. We've gotta strive for more than just saying a prayer at mealtime. Like, we've gotta strive for more. We gotta find ways to actually say words that are encouraging to one another so that it actually meets the needs of our kids. Like, we have to recognize that our children right now are beginning to form the way that they see themselves, and the way they see themselves is based in a large part on how we speak into their lives. If all we speak into their lives are the problems that we have with them, then all they're going to think is that they are a problem. No, we have to be intentional about speaking positive things in their lives, finding things in their lives, finding qualities in them that are so wonderful and valuable, even if that one thing is that they are really good at arguing, right? Your children have amazing qualities about them. But our flesh and the influence of the enemy will cause us to focus only on those things that are negative about them, only on those things that they're not doing right, only on those things that are going the wrong way. What might happen if you spoke to your children in such a way that it actually blessed them and encouraged them? What would they learn about your faith in that way? What would they learn about God in that way? Like, we can parent in God's Holy Spirit, and a lot of that is not just getting swept up in the emotion of a negative moment, but of stepping back long enough to recognize, you know what? God has some positive things to speak into this situation. I remember just a couple of weeks ago, I was sitting at my kitchen counter, which has become my office here these last couple of months, and Isaiah had come into the kitchen, and right in front of me is our kitchen window, which sits right over the sink in our kitchen. And as he was standing there, he was looking out the window. And the window was actually open that day. It was super gorgeous outside. And so I don't know if he heard something outside or what it was that he was doing. But his gaze just was set outside this window. But for those of you who know Isaiah, he's not quite as tall as I am, right? And so there he is standing at the sink. And he could only see so much. There was a tree across the street, and he could see the top of the tree, but he really couldn't see much more than that. Later on, after he had left, I walked over and I stood at that same window and I looked out as well. And it amazed me at how much more I could see than what he could see. He couldn't see it because he wasn't tall enough. But there I was standing in the exact same spot that he was standing, and I could see our flower bed. I could see the grass in the front yard. I could see the road. I could see cars going by. I could see the park off to the left. I could see the school off to the right. I could see all these different things simply because I could see things that he couldn't see. Church, as we are striving to parent in the spirit, we've got to recognize that our brains are at a place in life, a place in development, where we can see God's spirit moving in ways that our kids cannot yet see. And we can't hold them accountable for things that they can't see yet. We can't expect that they're just going to be born knowing these things. We can't expect that they're just going to make the right decisions because we show up to a worship service, or because we show up at a Facebook premiere, or because we happen to be on YouTube and this video comes on. No. We can't expect that they're going to just know how to do this stuff. Our kids are going to do it because we see a bigger picture and we submit our lives to God's Holy Spirit. We've got to start this. We've got to take the first step so that they see how they ought to submit to God's Holy Spirit as well. Church, I want you to know, I believe even right now that God is beginning to show us as parents, and for all of us that are in positions of responsibility, and we all have different positions of responsibility, but I believe that God is beginning to show us that we can see some things that we couldn't see before. And if we can see those things, that means that now we are responsible to share those things with others, to share those things with our kids, to share those things and to make them a part of the culture of our home. Church, I want to invite you to be a part of this new culture, to be a part of this culture where everything is spiritual, where there is no mundane moment, where there is no off time for God, where there is no off time for your spirituality, that there is no off time for you submitting to God's Holy Spirit. No, everything is spiritual, even your parenting, even the conversations that you have as soon as this video gets done, even the way you respond to this sermon right now. Everything is spiritual, and everything has implications for the next moment, and the next day, and the next week, and the next year. But it also has implications for the next generation, and the generation after that, and the generation after that. See, the decisions we make today, the way that we recognize what is happening spiritually around us today, is going to impact this world forever. How are we going to respond in a way that glorifies God and shows that we are submitted to His Holy Spirit? What are you submitting to today? Who are you submitting to today? And how are you going to take a step towards submitting your life to Jesus and the leading of His Holy Spirit? Let me pray for you. Lord God, we do thank you so much for the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives. We thank you, God, that you are in control. And we surrender all power to you now. God, help us that we might submit ourselves to you, that we might be parents and people of responsibility that would submit to you and show others how to submit to you as well. Lead us, Father, toward your desired end, toward your will and your way. Be glorified, Father. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.